Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I once had a dinner. I had a big guest list. I prepared a lot of food, a lot of festive beverages, lots of desserts. And I waited, and I waited. Nobody came. Nobody came. All that food wasted. All that revelry that we were going to enjoy was wasted. Did that happen to me? No. It's a story. I hope it never happened to you. But it happens to our Lord every Sunday when these churches are empty. This is a parable that we're familiar with. Can you imagine somebody preparing all that and wondering why people won't come? He gives us everything, and yet we want to do it ourselves. That's what this story is about. We come up with all these excuses. Not us here, we're here. But those around us, that come up with all excuses. Well, it's the only day I can sleep. It's the only day that I can have time with my family. It's the only day for this, for that, and the other. And on the other hand, in the gospel for next week, the story of the woman sweeping her house and looking for that penny. That's our Lord looking for each one of us that are not here. And there's this, it ends with that story that he said, our Lord says, I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repents. I bought a piece of ground. I've got to go work and I've got to build my house. I bought some cows or some horses. It's the only day I can go out and ride them and see if they're worth what I paid for them. I just got married, so I can't come to the feast. Well, that's time to come. You're in joy, supposedly marital bliss. And isn't it the Lord's house that you want to be at? These are the excuses we offer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who gave all to be with us, the one whose story is like a woman sweeping her house looking for that lost penny. That one out of 100, the 99 were here and safe. But he goes out looking for that one that's lost. Wandering around in the fields, in this case the fields of sin, not regarding what our Lord has done for us. Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Many churches were closed during this past year of horror, this pandemic. And it's hoped that these people will come back to church. And it's unfathomable that people won't come back because they're scared. Well, I'm more scared of eternity than I am of a pandemic. I'm going to read a treatise of St. Cyprian about the Lord's Prayer. In this season of Trinity, we recognize three and one, the one and three, and it goes back and forth. In the Creed we say, I believe, and it seems like a dichotomy that when we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, our Father. Why don't we say, my Father? I think St. Cyprian might have something to explain that. Before all else, the teacher of peace and unity would not have us pray on our own and in a private in such a manner that prays only for himself or the body of Christ. We do not say, "My Father who art in heaven," or "Give me this day my bread." Each person does not ask that his own sins only be forgiven, nor does he request for himself alone that he be not led into temptation, and that he be delivered from evil. Our prayer is public and for all. And when we pray not for a single person, but for the whole people, because we are all one. The God of peace, the teacher of harmony, who taught unity, willed that each one should pray for all, according as he carried us all in himself alone. Those three youths enclosed in the furnace observed this law of prayer when they spoke together in prayer and were one at one in the Spirit. Sacred Scripture bears witness to this, and by instructing us how such men prayed, it provides us with an example which we should imitate in our prayers to become like them. It says, "Then the three, as with one mouth, sang a hymn and blessed God, and they spoke as with one mouth, even though Christ had not taught them to pray." Of course, that's the story of the three in the furnace, and they came out with not even the smell of smoke, because they spoke with one voice. And so, as they prayed, their words were effective, and obtained for them what they asked, because such an harmonious, simple, and sincere prayer went over the Lord. We find the apostles also prayed in the same manner after the ascension of our Lord. With one accord, they devoted themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They continued with one accord in prayer, making clear both by the urgency and harmony of their prayer that God, who makes men to dwell in concord in the house, admits only those who pray with one accord into the divine and eternal house. What deep mysteries, my dear brothers, are contained in the Lord's Prayer. How many and great they are. They are expressed in a few words, but they are rich in spiritual power, so that nothing is left out. Every petition and prayer we have to make is included. It is a compendium of heavenly doctrine. This is how you must pray. The Lord himself says, "Our Father, who art in heaven." The new man who has been reborn and restored to his God through grace says, "Father," at the beginning, because he's already beginning to be a son. Scripture tells him he came among his own, and his own did not receive him. To all that did receive him, he gave power to become the sons of God, to those that believe in his name. Therefore, whoever has believed in his name and has been made a son of God should begin from this point to give thanks and to profess himself a son of God by calling his God his Father in heaven. So I'll go back to the gospel for today. We pray that prayer, do we mean it? Are we in his house? Are we in his presence when we pray that? I'm afraid at times, I think we can all admit, sometimes we just say it because it's almost like a mantra. But I think there's several other studies about this, about unpacking the Lord's Prayer, about what it really says. Recognize God as our Father. Asking for his forgiveness, first of all. Telling him of his greatness and who he is, acknowledging who he is, and then our petitions follow after. But he asked us first to come into his house and bid them for supper. And what does he tell us as we come to his altar? "Come, for all things are now ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Amen.